listening to Real World News.
Interview with Sofia Monsalve, balance and perspectives in the light of the guidelines on land tenure. Human rights activist Sofia Monsalve said in an interview with Real World Radio that the voluntary guidelines on land tenure, water and forestry resources recently agreed in Rome is a clear result of a process that has taken 2 decades, a tool to reactivate the social agenda and mobilizations around the agrarian reform and the protection of human rights defenders. She is a lawyer specialized in agrarian issues and human rights. She works for FIAN, Food First Information and Action Network, an organization that has actively participated in the tiring process of putting issues like international governance, food sovereignty and control of international resources in the agenda. FIAN has a consulting character within the FAO's World Committee on Food Security. It has worked together with social movements at the different regional consultations and negotiation rounds on the guidelines. This process began in 1996 during the World Food Summit. Different organizations would meet there with new proposals about food and how to overcome hunger by contributing to this alternative proposal. From then and until now, when 70% of the contents of the guidelines has been discussed and agreed upon, we have to wait to complete this process in early 2012. The land issue broadened both in conceptual and social terms through the confluence of different sectors such as Afro-descendants, indigenous peoples, peasants, fisherfolk, nomadic pastoralists, all equally affected by the privatization of natural resources. Monsalves remembered the highlights of this process in an interview with Real World Radio. It was the indigenous peoples who won and had more legal tools to protect themselves, and other groups began to use those tools and fight for new ones that would include them.
Round of negotiations which concluded on Saturday. Let me start by saying that it is very important for us that the reform CFS took the land issue as one of the most urgent issues to be tackled. I think before that, land was a neglected issue. And if you remember the first responses to the food crisis, if you remember the first version of the Common Framework for Action, did not take into account land at all. And it's actually one of the burning issues. So I think it is a very encouraging signal that the CFS took this issue as one of the most urgent issues to be tackled at the international level. Secondly, I think that it is also very important, and it has to do with the reform CFS, that the voices from the ground can be brought to the CFS attention. And I think we have just listened to 3 testimonies, what is actually going on the ground, and I think the responses that the CFS should be, of course, in line to address very, very serious issues as the 3 speakers have presented to us. You all know that we handed over the Dakar appeal against land grabbing last week during the negotiations. It was endorsed by 870 organizations worldwide. I'm sure you have read the Dakar appeal, and we call there for stopping all forms of land grabbing which are currently occurring in all the different continents, to return the plundered lands to the local communities, and the appeal also calls for the support and the duty to resist land grabbing in all forms. So it's an issue that needs to be addressed at the local, at the national, at the regional, and at the international level. And what we want to present here now is what is the role of the guidelines on the land, fisheries, and forests in resisting land grabbing, at least the way we see it. Let me use the examples that the 3 previous speakers brought to our attention to assess if the guidelines are addressing these issues or not. I would like to start with the presentation done by Placid. Unfortunately, the guidelines did not include the issue of mining and water, and the guidelines did not actually touch on the issue of the use of the natural resources, because the guidelines are focused on tenure. We brought these issues during the consultations we have on the guidelines, but we did unfortunately not succeed in seeing them included in the guidelines because the guidelines are about tenure. We think it's very difficult to separate tenure from use. We agree tenure is important, but we would have liked to see also guidelines on the governance of natural resources, if you want, for all tenure use and management. So this is something we unfortunately have not achieved. But there are, I think, some important elements in the guidelines. Gustavo talked about the high levels of land concentration and inequality in access and control over lands in Guatemala. It's not the only single case. Guatemala, if you take the whole of Latin America, has a highly unequal access to natural resources, but it's also a problem in Southern Africa, in South Asia, and in Southeast Asia. So we think that the chapter 15 of the guidance, which is exclusively dedicated to the issue of redistribution of land, fisheries, and forests, is a very important one, and we are very pleased that we have this chapter in the guidelines. Another issue which is, I think, very important, and it was brought by Gustavo again, is the issue of protection against forced evictions. These forced evictions are very often very violent, as in the case of the Polochic Valley. And also the issue of the protection of the defenders of the human rights of peasants, indigenous peoples, fisher folks, and pastoralists. We are very pleased that the guidelines adopted one paragraph on the protection of and non-criminalizations of social struggles in defense of natural resources. It was a difficult negotiation, but we got there, and there is now a paragraph on this issue, which we very much hope it will be useful on the ground, as Gustavo was actually calling for. And it would be very nice if in the future FAO, for instance, join hands with the Office of the High Commissioner in all these countries to provide some sort of monitoring or support to the defenders of the human rights of peasants in cases, for instance, of forced eviction. Another issue which is also in the guidelines is the issue of regulated spatial planning. I think Herman elaborated on that and on the competence about the use of land, if tourism or versus small-scale fisheries. I think we have also interesting provisions in the chapter about regulated spatial planning, protecting, of course, the local users and their livelihoods. And also another important element in the guidance which was adopted last week was the recognition of customary tenure systems and informal tenure. And the guidelines call now the state to recognize tenure rights which are not currently protected by law. So all in all, you see that there were very important issues for us which unfortunately have not been taken into account by the guidelines, but there are other very important issues for us which are included now in the guidelines. In our statement out there, you will see that we make actually a positive evaluation of the outcome of the second week of round of negotiations. We think that the spirit and the discussions during the negotiations were very constructive. They were very tough, but I think we managed to find some compromise which was acceptable for all parties. We think, of course, we would have liked to see the guidelines concluded and adopted in this session, in this very afternoon. It was my personal dream, actually, to just finish this work. But unfortunately, we did not manage. I think it's not the fault of anyone. It's just the issue, which is extremely complex. And it has been just extremely an intense experience of coming to a shared understanding of what is tenure in such a variety of contexts and situations all over the world. So we very much hope that the guidelines will be adopted soon. We will be calling the CFS to adopt them and conclude the negotiations as soon as possible. We would like to see that happen, if not at the end of this year, in January. We think we have to keep momentum with the constructive discussions. We also would like to call all the governments and members and participants to not reopen the agreed text. I think it wouldn't be constructive and it would not be helpful to attain the goal of adopting the guidelines as soon as possible. And of course, we very much look forward to the process of implementing them, because this is what counts. Thank you very much.
You are listening to Real World News.